Governor Tony Evers has made it official. He will not be running for re-election. It's Friday, July 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crowe. Coming up on the show today, Evers' decision to retire from politics has both Democrats and Republicans floating bids to replace him. And the case against the father of a Madison school shooter will move forward. Stay with us.
Music with more.
I feel the connection with the listeners, and they've been so kind to welcome me in and to be a part of this. Really, what I feel is not just a unique program, it's their program, and it's just important that I represent them in the best way I can.
Join Ruth Ann Bestman for Classics by Request, Saturday mornings on WPR Music.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers has announced that he will not be seeking re-election. In a video released yesterday, Evers said he plans to retire from politics to spend more time with his family.
FYI, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet.
The announcement comes after weeks of speculation about Evers' intentions. Recent campaign finance reports indicated that he had not raised much money for a re-election campaign. His coming retirement from politics sets up what could be heated primaries in both parties to replace him. The Democratic Party hopes to boost its chances of flipping two Wisconsin congressional seats from red to blue. As Nick Rommel reports, they're drawing attention to a controversy around financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
A new digital ad campaign by the Democratic National Committee targets Republican congressmen Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile. Call your representative, it says. Demand they release the Epstein files. It uses a soundbite from far-right Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
This is a serious issue. The highest volume of calls into my office have been about Epstein.
There's a divide between some Republicans and the Trump administration about its handling of documents related to sex trafficking by Epstein. Democrats are hoping to capitalize on it. The new ad's targets, Stile and Van Orden, are on the list of Republicans who Democrats think they can defeat in next year's midterms. Democrats say the ads will play in, quote, conservative information spaces. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The case against the father of a Madison school shooter will move forward. As Sarah Lear reports, this comes after a court commissioner ruled that there is enough evidence for Jeffrey Rupnow to stand trial.
Rupnow's 15-year-old daughter opened fire at the Abundant Life Christian School in December, killing two other people and herself. Prosecutors say the two guns the teen brought to school that day were gifts from her father, and that it's likely she knew how to open the safe where he kept them. But Rupnow's attorney, Lisa Goldman, says the charges against her client are unfounded.
The state's argument presumes that by telling her the gun safe combination is his Social Security number backwards, he's given her a weapon. But that's not what this law says about the definition of to give.
Rupnow's charged with giving a weapon to someone under 18 and with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, Governor Evers shook up Wisconsin politics yesterday with his announcement that he will not be seeking re-election. The governor's departure from the race leaves a rare wide open seat for governor, and it could lead to crowded primaries. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to talk about the wide-open field.
Anya, Rich, we've been speculating for months now about whether Tony Evers would run again, when he might announce, and how. He ended that speculation Thursday. What did he tell us?
He told us that he is not running. So effectively, he is ending his political career next year. He posted an emotional video online and said he's loved being governor and he's confident he'd win a third term if he ran. But he said he wants to spend more time with his family. And that is a pretty big deal, especially for Democrats. Evers consistently polls as the most popular politician in the state. So this sets up a wide open Democratic primary with no real clear front runner. At the same time, Democrats are trying to flip the state legislature next year, and so they really want to hold on to the governor's office for that to give them any kind of meaningful inroads in the Capitol.
And Rich, you did a story rounding up some of the reaction to this announcement. What stood out to you?
There were a lot of statements. Everyone that I saw was thanking Evers for his combined 50 years as an educator, superintendent of state schools, and governor. Also, some of the statements from Democrats were pushed out pretty early. It's almost like they knew this was coming. Maybe the most surprising thing to me was a couple of very kind statements from Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu. Those individuals were staunch political enemies of Evers since he took office in 2019. Voss and Lemahieu both thanked him for his service and wished him well in retirement. Lemahieu even thanked Evers for his willingness to reach across the aisle.
And just looking back here, the last time we had an open primary for governor on the Democratic side, it was 2018, when around a dozen candidates launched campaigns for governor. So let's get down to the list of who might run for Democrats this year, Anya. By the time people are listening to this, we may have an announced candidate or two. Run through the list as we know it now.
Yeah, it's already kind of long. There's lots of early tea leaves. There's statewide office holders like Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Attorney General Josh Call, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. They've all hinted that they're interested. State Senator Kelda Royce has also said she's strongly considering a run. Over in Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley are considered to be contenders. You, Sean, chatted with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and he told you that he's thinking about it. And the former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, who stepped down from that role a few months ago, is also considered a possibility.
And Rich, last time we had an open primary on the Republican side was just in 2022. There were four candidates, give or take. How many do we know about this year?
Officially, we have two Republicans in the race. They are business executive Bill Berrien and Washington County executive Josh Shulman. We do have some teasers, though. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has been hinting at a run for some time now. And after Evers' announcement, former Republican Governor Scott Walker went on social media and posted a picture of a red hat with the words "Make Wisconsin Great Again" and the numbers 45-47 on the side. So that's obviously a nod to President Donald Trump, who was the 45th president and is now the 47th president. But fun fact, if Walker were to run and win another term, he'd actually be the 45th and 47th governor of Wisconsin.
So it is still early, but looking at this race right now, it feels like we might have some big primaries this time. Generally speaking, why is that?
Well, it's usually a safe bet that election season in Wisconsin is not going to be like quiet and chill. This is, I think, another example of that. It is the first wide open race for governor in 15 years. And so, of course, Republicans are just trying to get back into power in that office. And on the Democratic side, the stakes are also really high. They are hoping to take advantage of being the minority party in Washington, which maybe sounds a little weird, but oftentimes the minority party has an edge in the midterms. So they want to maintain the governor's veto pen no matter what, and they're trying to flip the state legislature, which would really solidify some Democratic power in a way that we have not seen here in many, many years.
That was WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer. They spoke with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, we'll continue our Wisconsin summer road trip series with a story about a first-of-its-kind tribal national park in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Bridget Bowden with a story about a first-of-its-kind tribal national park in Wisconsin. It's part of WPR's Wisconsin Road Trip series, which features pit stops across the state to explore some of the people, places, and things that make Wisconsin summers special.
Frog Bay Tribal National Park has hiking trails, shoreline, and wetlands. The nearly 200-acre park on Lake Superior is a great place to go for a run or to look out on the Apostle Islands. For members of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, the land also holds a special meaning. WPR's Trevor Hook brings us this story on the park's history and significance.
Shugabu Ikwe Misty Nordine grew up less than a mile from the shoreline that's now part of Frog Bay Tribal National Park. She is a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. She also teaches in an Ojibwe language immersion program. Her grandfather was one of the driving forces behind making this area on the shore of Lake Superior into the nation's first tribal national park.
This is my favorite part of the trail because I can remember once we got to here, we were almost there. And as we turn this corner and we get around that corner, that smell will hit you. There's that big pine tree. And in the summertime, it just hits you like a wall.
Nordine says tribal elders like her grandfather pushed for the creation of the park to ensure access to the area after decades of conflict between property owners and other tribal members restricted access to this land. Frog Bay Park being a tribal national park means that it's not affiliated with the National Park Service. The Red Cliff Tribe has control over the land. Nordine says she still remembers the first time she walked this trail again after it became a part of the park.
I cried because I hadn't smelt that smell in that way, turning that corner like I did as a little girl every day of every summer until that moment.
What today is a 175-acre park first opened in 2012 after the Red Cliff Tribe purchased the land from local property owners. The park and the nearby 300-acre conservation management area have wetlands and a freshwater estuary, as well as a boreal forest, a diverse ecosystem that's rare in Wisconsin.
So I don't know if I could say the exact age of this forest, but I would estimate some of these trees are upwards of 200 years old. Some of these white pines probably are pushing older than that.
That's Giwedin Gwangabo Ron Nordine Jr., a wildlife technician with the Red Cliff Tribe. He's also Shugabu Ikwe Misty Nordine's husband. He was introduced to this stretch of the beach after they were married nearly 30 years ago. At the end of the trail, there's a single white bench facing Lake Superior. You can see five of the Apostle Islands from this spot as the gravel trail gives way to a sandy Lake Superior beach. Red Cliff Natural Resources Director Ashley Hinker likes to hit the trail on her lunch breaks.
And if you go fast enough, the bugs can't get on you.
Hinker says the federal government's history of taking land from Native Americans makes having a tribal national park especially valuable.
This park is a really big and really important victory for the tribe, and a really important way that the tribe has asserted their rights as a sovereign nation.
For Shugabu Ikwe Misty Nordine, Frog Bay is a piece of her grandfather's legacy.
That's embedded in us and who we are. That's part of our teachings, is we don't just look out for ourselves. We're always looking seven generations ahead, and we're always looking seven generations behind.
For her, it will always be the place she went as a kid to swim in the summers and to pick blueberries for her grandma.
WPR's Trevor Hook brought us that story on Frog Bay Tribal National Park. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Bridget Bowden.
You can join us every Friday this summer for more Wisconsin road trips. To see all the stops and plan your own road trip, find the series page at wpr.org/roadtrip. And finally, quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. Mix of sunshine and clouds today with highs in the mid to upper 80s. There's also an air quality alert in effect for a good portion of the state because of some wildfire smoke that is set to expire around 11 tonight. Clouds continue to build overnight with a good chance for some rain in the south, lows down in the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Courtney Everett, Sean Johnson, and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.